opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And good Tuesday morning, and welcome to another edition of Analyze This here on your NPR station in the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX-FM, with yours truly, Neville James. It's a beautiful day in paradise, but it's not beautiful up in the Baltimore area, where a part of the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed early this morning after a ship crashed into it, sending cars and people into the water in what authorities are calling a developing mass casualty event. So our thoughts and prayers go out to the folks in that area and those who may have been traversing that major thoroughfare. All right. Upwards of seven people are in the river, said Baltimore Chief James Wallace. Rescue workers have retrieved from the water two so far, one very seriously injured. Wallace said that sonar has detected the presence of vehicles submerged in water, but did not specify how many. Authorities say the search and rescue mission, complicated by rising tides, will continue until divers determine they have reached a non-survivability point. The bridge was hit by a 948-foot container ship, the Dolly, flying under the Singaporean flag and just leaving Baltimore for Sri Lanka. The 1.6-mile bridge, named after the writer of the Star-Spangled Banner, is part of I-695, an arterial of Interstate 95, a major freeway running north-south along the eastern seaboard. Wow. So, thoughts and prayers go out to everybody who's been impacted, to the city of Baltimore. You know, Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott called the bridge collapse an unthinkable tragedy, comparing it to something out of an action movie. At Tuesday morning's press conference, he urged people to pray for everyone impacted, from the people we have to try to find and save to family members and first responders. We're going to continue to work in partnership with every part of government to do everything that we can get us to the other side of this tragedy. So once again, a Singaporean flag ship, the Dolly, was just leaving the Baltimore area when it hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Wow. That's one rough. So, hopefully, the losses are zero to none. And this is unfortunate. Really unfortunate. Go ahead, back. We're supposed to have the delegate, Stacey Plaskett, joining us this morning. And then at the bottom of the hour, we'll continue our conversation with Professor Malik Siku on VA history, and specifically the self-governance window that began in 1970. And but this one, and there's actually video, you know. I saw some video on Twitter where the bridge literally collapsed and snapping in like multiple parts. Well, this is shocking. Mayor Brandon Scott said there will be time to discuss the bridge and how to get the bridge back up. But right now there are people in the water And that's the only thing we should be worried about. We're going to continue to work in partnership with every part of government to do everything that we can do to get us to the other side of this tragedy. We should be getting Delegate Plaskett on the line right now. And looking forward to having that discussion with her. Until the bottom of the hour, and then get Professor Maliksi Kuhan. But you know, a little distracted right about now. Right? So, this one rough. I'm looking at a feed here. Wow. This one rough. So, hopefully, the powers that be. I know Secretary Buttigieg has made an announcement, and hopefully we'll hear what got here. So, I'd like to welcome to the show this morning. Good morning, Delegate Congresswoman Stacey Plaskett. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you doing?
Not well after I saw this bridge collapsing in the Baltimore area. It's crazy.
Yeah. Thankfully, though, they've ruled out terrorism.
That's
good. That is a good thing. They've recovered two people from the wreckage and are continuing to look for more. And, it seems like everybody's on deck doing what needs to be done. So an absolutely unfortunate accident. Very unfortunate.
Yeah, so hopefully
that's one of the routes from D.C. up to New York.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that one. That's why, someone who has driven that route multiple times over the last, I'd say, 30 years. That one there ain't easy to deal with at all.
The other issue is, in terms of people, we don't know who was driving on the bridge at the time,
Yeah.
That's also very frightening. Mm-hmm. But that is one of our major ports for cargo, particularly cars coming into the country and out of the country, as well as cocoa and other commodities. Coming in. The Port of Baltimore is a very, very important area. I'm just very concerned for our economy, and particularly for my brother, Wes Moore, the governor of Maryland. I know people are watching him intently for future races and activities, and I really want him to succeed.
Yeah, he just took over the state, right, recently?
Yes, he did. He's been now in office, 2 years?
A year.
A year
and 3 months, right?
Storm.
Yeah,
took everybody by storm in that race. He's a really fantastic guy, beautiful family, really trying to do some amazing things. He is African-American. His mom is Jamaican and lets me know it every time I see her that, she's my auntie. And he has excellent, just incredibly smart young man. Johns Hopkins University also was in the military, enlisted right out of high school, and just a fantastic person. So really everyone sees him, sees star power, sees a future leader. And, many of us have thoughts that might be the next one. So we are hoping that he succeeds in bringing them to recovery.
Yeah, well, let's hope that the best of a bad situation is the end result. So So how you been? How's
time? I'm ready for Easter camping. You ready for Easter camping?
Well, we got an announcement to make. We're gonna be remote on Thursday. Upper Creamers Park, man.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
that's a good look for you guys.
Breaking the news right now, our second remote analyze this Thursday morning. So looking mm-hmm. forward to that, doing our due diligence.
Do you change locations every year?
Nah. We did our first remote show this year at the Delhi Deck the day after the State of the Territory. So we mm-hmm. now we're actually spreading our wings, So
look at you like Morning Joe going for on location.
Yo, man, Morning Joe ain't got nothing on this, man. Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm just having fun. But we're doing some things, and so you know, you heard it here first. Thursday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Analysis will be on the road. St. Croix gets a remote edition from Creamers Park. I want to thank VINGN. They're working with us to make sure all the connectivity is in place. So we got 48 hours to make that happen. So we're good.
That's excellent. So maybe all the people who text you the whole time you're on the show, I know you get be getting a zillion.
They got a problem this questions. Time. They got a problem this time.
They need to just come out. They just need to come out.
Yeah. But it's my T-Mobile ain't got no service up there. So they can go text me via Facebook Messenger. So,
okay.
You know what I mean? So, unless T-Mobile gonna bring up a portable antenna or something like that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
As it stands right now, you know, Facebook Messenger. So for those who listening, and you know, we do a lot of communication with the audience via text messaging. If you're gonna communicate with me while we're on location, right? OL2. Right, because OL1 was at the Delhi Deck the day after the State of the Territory. OL2 is at Creamers Park. You got to communicate via Facebook Messenger. So we're looking forward to it. So you spending the Easter with your people, Lem?
I'm sorry, say that again?
You spending the Easter with your people, Lem, here in the territory?
Definitely. Right now I'm on St. Thomas. I've been here for a few days. We had yesterday an amazing program where we were at the Fort Christian in Charlotte Amali across from the legislature. And we have, this is our third annual VI History with Stacy. And so we had so many young people performing. We had bambula dancers. That was absolutely amazing. Mokojombi's Israel Peterson gave a demonstration about the different moves, what it meant, its actual origins, what it's intended to do, had his students perform. We had readers. It was just a beautiful evening. Of course, Kwabena Davis, he gave some storytelling, some Anansi stories. And we're going to do the same thing on St. Croix on Wednesday night. So we're asking everyone to come out to Dorsch Beach on Wednesday evening. That we're going to have a fantastic time doing that again. We've got some people who are going to perform. Derby, I know his children are going to perform, and some others. And that will be starting at 5:30 at Dorsch Center. And then, you know, I love camping. I'm one of those. I used to be in a campsite out in Frederickstead. Jonathan and I would be with then just regular. We were just regular folks. It was just Diane Capehart. Albert Bryant used to come through, just regular Albert Bryant, not Governor Bryant at the time, and several other families. It was just a fantastic time. Greg Richards and his wife and others. But I was one of those, you know, I'm at the campsite till like 4 a.m. and then I go home, take a quick nap in my own bed, shower, and then bring supplies back. But I love camping. And so on Friday, my team is going to be doing kite flying. We go out to locations and teach the kids how to make kites, how to make their own kites. We bring the supplies and then watch them fly. It's always amazing to me that the parents are usually in the background for a minute. And then, of course, all the dads, all the men get in and they're like, no, you're doing it wrong. Your tail is wrong. You need this. It's just a fantastic time. So I know we're going to go to Salt River. Traditionally, we've been also to Frederickstead and to Creamers Park. Potentially this year.
Okay, that's good, man. So I'm glad you're excited about that. I'm glad the event yesterday went well. Kwabena Godowa.
He is so good. He brought his brother with him. The two of them were hilarious. It was fantastic. He gave a great Anansi story, and it's amazing to me how he's able to innovate and change them all the time. Everyone, children, adults, were completely engaged in it. It was just fantastic. You know, Neville, when I was a child, My parents had a woman who used to take care of me. My parents worked a lot of hours, so she was there in the evening. Miss Winifred Ford, she was from Barbados, and she used to call me Nancy. And really, it meant a Nancy because she said I was a trickster as a kid.
You ain't no trickster, man.
I was a good child, right, Neville?
Yeah, man, you ain't no trickster, man. I'm just choosing.
I thought I was a good kid. You remember me as a good kid, right?
Of course, man. You might not want to be bad, but you are bad. You know what I mean? Let me put it this way. Check this out.
Listen, the consequences are too great. I don't like some kind of consequences.
No. You ain't want no part of the consequences.
Miss Mary could give you the consequences. Oh, yes. My grandmother was super consequences.
Oh, yes. You were from New Mexico. Truth or consequences, New Mexico. You know what I'm saying? You were from New Mexico. Look, let me ask this question quickly because, you know, when a good conversation, time to fly fast. Why is this Congress so dysfunctional?
Wow. That's a great question.
I know.
You know, I think Congress is so dysfunctional because their leader is so dysfunctional. And they have taken on his persona and the manner in which he operates and believe that they can operate the Congress this way. You know, it is so interesting to me that the day before Mike Gallagher announced that he was leaving, I was in an intelligence meeting where he was there also, a hearing. And as we were leaving, someone pulled him aside and said something. And he was just so upset by it. He was like, why do I always have to be the rational adult all the time for this party? And he stormed off. And the next day...
He said that out loud or he said that to you in private?
Like under his breath.
Under his breath, yeah. Away. Okay, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, that kind of helped, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the next day he announces not only is he's retiring early, but gives a date so that the party can't put somebody else in his seat.
That's right. April 19th, right? It's effective April 19th. Right? And he was one of the Republicans. I think it was either two or three of them who voted against the impeachment of Secretary Mayorkas, right?
Right. And he also voted to impeach President Trump.
Yeah. So, you know, wow. Well, so.
But the
dysfunction isn't because of blind support for the former president. Because even in that case, on Friday, you had Marjorie Taylor Greene putting in a resolution to vacate the chair and then claiming this is a warning or something. I mean, Congress really is as we just said locally, Dunya, a classic papi show going on up there now.
But you know. Her putting that in, we know that she's not going to call for privilege for that resolution.
Oh, we know
she's
that.
Not going to ask for a vote
at this time. Yeah.
Because we know that Mike Johnson is exactly who Trump wants
exactly.
to be there
exactly.
when the election occurs.
Exactly.
So this is just a way to have something over him.
Yeah.
And
what we're going to do is we'll take a break and come back and pick up the discussion in a couple of minutes. Be back right after this with the delegate, Congresswoman Stacey Plaskett.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here, Analyze This. We're having a conversation with our delegate to Congress, Congresswoman Stacey Plaskett. Superwoman is on the mic. She's on the phone. We're glad to have her here. Good morning once again, Delegate. Glad to have you.
Good morning.
Okay, good. So any announcements for what you're doing legislatively for the people of the Virgin Islands? Let me knock that out as soon as possible.
Yeah, we were finally able to pass some omnibus bills. These are the budgets that then occur for the next several, for the next year. Of course, it was almost a half a year late in being passed. These are usually passed in September, and so we were able to get them done now. But what we were able to bring back two Congresses ago were what used to be called earmarks, right? And these are a pot of money that's set aside for members of Congress, and they're able to appropriate or earmark money to go directly to projects. Usually funding goes to agencies, and then federal agencies then disperse it throughout the United States. But I was able to get some funding to go specifically to projects in the Virgin Islands, and I'm just so incredibly excited about that. And, some of these projects are a lot. We know in the Virgin Islands that our nonprofits do a lot of the heavy lifting for projects and activities that are happening. And so we were able to get some funding that are going to redoing infrastructure in the territory. The Republicans who control the House wanted all of these community project funding to go to infrastructure. So we have, $1 million that is going to the Caribbean Center for the Boys and Girls Club to rehab that youth center in Christiansted and to rebuild their centers there. Funding that's going to my brother's workshop in St. Thomas, to the architecture center that's being built at the old barracks property, and even to the Lutheran Church in Christiansted to redo the building across from the church, not the parish hall, but that's like kind of the community center that's there. So we have quite a number of projects that are going to get this funding, including even the fish market in Frenchtown to rehab the roof, rehab the fish market there in Frenchtown. So we on our website are the listing of all of the projects that are going to get funding. And, we're going to be making an announcement, sending out the criteria to all of our nonprofits, to our churches, to those groups that work in our community, letting them know that a second round is going to be coming. We're now putting together for the following appropriations bill and looking again for infrastructure projects as well.
Well, count me as pro earmarks. I know John McCain used to, take shots at these back in the day and referring to them as pork. But you know something? When you're elected from a district, you got obligation to get whatever you could get for the district. And
right.
That's just my take.
There, they're actually used in a lot of ways to get members to vote for the appropriations bill, right?
But that's how it should be. That's how it should be, though. You know,
you've got projects in there, and you're not going to vote. Well, some of these Republicans will vote no. They're crazy like that. Mm-hmm. Will vote no for the bill, and then accept the funding that's in there for projects.
Not only that. As it stands right now, Stefanik, Boebert, all of them, they're going back home to their district now and bragging about monies that come in for infrastructure in their states, but ain't telling the people them that they vote against the bill.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
You know, that's like the infrastructure bill, the major infrastructure bill, I think, passed in 2021 or 2022. A lot of them had issues with it.
They voted against it.
And now they're having a field. That's why President Biden had a field day with them at the State of the Union. You know what I'm saying? Because,
right.
You know, you're going around, you know, doing one thing and then you're saying something to the contrary, contrary to what you did. So,
yeah.
You know, when that happens, you'll get called up.
Give them the money back.
All of that craziness, you know. So it's wild.
How did you feel he did in the State of the Territory? State of the Union address?
No. Everybody knew that that was arguably one of his finest moments. You know, everybody was waiting for that moment where he would do something regrettable, and it never happened. So then, you know,
right. So
now they claim that he been on drugs. I've always said, you know, Joe Biden is the only, he's the most cognitively dissonant mafia man I've ever seen in my life, the way they don't talk about it. You know what I'm saying? The Biden crime family, and here he is, you know, supposedly, according to the former president, or like he likes to refer to him as his predecessor, right? My predecessor, right? Claiming that he don't know where he is, you know, all that kind of nonsense. So, but you know what?
Well,
we got plenty of time for that.
We're seeing Trump having some real cognitive issues.
That's what I'm saying.
Completely.
That's why we always say, when people hurt in physically and medically, don't take shots at them. Respect them. But I guess in the political arena, you know, when the opportunity presents itself, you got to do what you got to do. Let me ask this question. You had a communications proposal or initiative with some triangulation between the Virgin Islands, West Africa and America. How'd that work in?
It's passed. It's in the bill. Mm-hmm. We had a vote on the floor on it, and it passed in the House. And we've got some, and it passed by voice vote. So that means everyone was in favor of it. We've gotten some senators who are very anxious about this as well. And we believe it's going to go on to the president's desk. And what this does is, this is the first stage. It creates a bill. It creates a study. The Department of Defense must do a study to determine the feasibility and the benefit of having undersea fiber optic cables that go from New York and from Virginia, near the naval base in Virginia, down to St. Croix. Both of those go to St. Croix. And then from St. Croix to Ghana, and to Nigeria, to Accra and Lagos. And we know that our fiber optic that's presently on St. Croix is actually aging out. Those fiber optics have a lifespan, and the lifespan on that is dying. But this will allow, there's no direct cable from the United States to Africa. Coups are happening every year. You know, every 6 months there's a coup that's happening in Africa. China, Russia are moving throughout the continent, and the United States is seeing the incredible need to have more direct ties there and our own strategic interests. And so members were really excited about the idea that this presented. And what people don't know also is that having it rest in the Virgin Islands not only allows us to increase the type of jobs and type of activity that would occur here in the Virgin Islands, but there's actually, you know, a 001 tick that comes to us every time there is a piece that goes through, which equates to, you know, tens of millions of dollars at a time. So we're really, really excited about that.
That's good. I'm honored at this point to have joining the conversation, Professor Malik Sikou, from St. Thomas.
Oh, very good.
UVA. Good morning, Professor Malik Sikhu. Glad to have you on for our second VI History discussion here in VI History Month. How are you?
Good morning. The other voice sounds like Congresswoman Stacey Glasgow. That's Stacey Glasgow. Good morning to you.
It is. So good to hear your voice, Professor.
Well,
good to hear your voice.
If you don't mind, I want you to be a co-host with me for the next 7 minutes while the delegate
is on. I just wanted to make a joke. I was here cussing everybody liberty because I couldn't get through, but I found it was the link to problems. So I was trying to make some very emphatic GI bad words in private. But anyway, good morning, everybody.
you mentioned the word Tumbao the last time, that's what's going on now. How's everything, Malik?
I can't complain. I'm pleased. I'm even more pleased to hear the delegate. I would say this to her. Since it's pre-election season, so this is not an endorsement per se. But we in Nivea are proud of you for serving us. There was a time that Virginians did not have a delegate to Congress, a delegate to anywhere. So the fact that we have delegates to Congress and you are a second female powerhouse between Dr. Christensen and Attorney Plaskett, you have overshadowed Randy Lugo. Randy Lugo now is unknown.
Malik, as accurate as it might be, we're not taking any shots at Mango Jones this morning. Do not do that.
I'll hold strain.
Hey, Malik, one of my listeners just asked me to, whatever I do while talking to the delegate, please say St. John once, right? Please mention St. John. So I go mention St. John now. Of course, St. John is affectionate to you, Malik. Delegate, anything for St. John in the near future?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to, earlier this month, for VI History Month, at the beginning, we had our second walk where we do a hike in Coral Bay going to Ramhead to commemorate the 1733 insurrection revolution that took place there with Queen Grefu, the other Kwamus, who held the island for an inordinate amount of, for over 6 months. They were able to hold the island before the Danes, the French, the Spanish got together and overthrew them. And so we were able in this Congress to get the national park. It had to pass actually as a law, if you can believe that, to commemorate that insurrection, that first slave rebellion in the Western Hemisphere at the Ramhead. And so we had the plaque installed this month and had over 100 people there doing the hike with us and had the unveiling of the plaque that's there. And so we are, continuing to, I was just on St. John this weekend, went there on Sunday and spent quite a bit of time over there talking with people about different issues that are happening and continuing to work for, I hope, all of the people of the Virgin Islands, and knowing that St. John is incredibly important, and talking with them particularly about Centerline Road and some issues that are related to that.
Malik, I'm going to yield to you. Anything you want to ask the delegate now?
First of all, the delegate, I'm always impressed how you speak because St. John is a touchy place. I have a close ties on my paternal side because my family, the Saws, are a prominent family in that island. And one of the issues that I'm praising you for talking is that I believe you had a resolution or a proposal to stop the growth of the national park in a sense of the territory, land-based growth, not in terms of the marine aspect, because there's a sore spot in St. John that the park is growing too big. And it feels right. Like there's something can be too big for corporate America to fail. A park could be too big for us to sustain in St. John. Not in St. Croix. St. Croix has a space for potentially a small park, St. Thomas, but the way Native St. Johnians perceive the park is that it has reached its maximum, and there has to be some understanding that too big to be sustained for the native point of view is important. So I'm applauding you for doing that. And St. John needs to be revitalized so that native St. Johnians can prosper and thrive, you know. And I'm encouraging you to really convince Congress that people have a mixed feeling about a national park. It's like a conflicted heart. That there's a yeah. positive feeling on the left side of your heart and there's a negative feeling on the right side of the heart.
That's so true. You know, I had a town hall on St. John just specifically about that legislation that would stop the growth of the national park, not allow them to continue to increase the size by accepting land from people, land being able to be deeded. And it was really interesting that there were a lot of mixed feelings about that. And the mixed feeling was that the thought that, well, the park is too large already and the park needs to retract in size. And so we are actually working on trying to create a task force that would look at reviewing how the park came about, doing a report, as well as making recommendations about the size of the park, how to resolve the disputes that many St. Johnians have about the size of the park and its land use. And that's something that came out of that town hall that was right there on St. John. You know, it was evident that people had such very strong feelings and hurt feelings that were generational related to that. And and I tried to explain to them that is not just on St. John. You know, many of us, my mom's family on St. Croix, feel that land was taken away from them under certain pretenses. So this is something that I think happens to a people who may not have full sight of what's being done to them, do not have control of the levers of power and of the bureaucracy, and things can be done to them that has generational impact. So we need to look at that, and I wholeheartedly feel the people of St. John in that regard, on those issues.
Well, I'm glad that Malik is saying we need to put a full stop to how far they could expand. But I'm glad you took it to that next level. We need some retraction, man. They got too much over there now, man. I mean, with all due respect, man, come on now. Oh, gosh.
I ain't done with this, sir. I use some VI phrases. So I know the councilman is raised having VI words, so I don't think we need to translate that. I got Nyapamo to give away.
I know exactly what that means. My mother always have them things she's given to me.
Well, there's a controversial issue I have taken. I think a passion that some of my native brethren in St. John don't care for. But once we say, and I agree wholeheartedly with a swap, let it truly be a swap for a first-class educational complex that will be worth the transfer and investment.
Don't go for it. We're getting for a break, right? But why are you to think about this during the break, and then I'll excuse the delegate when we come back. Mary, I won't really into no swap, no. I want to give us back the land. Because how much you want, how much you need.
Take the break,
never,
man.
We're
coming back to that.
Oh, gosh, man. Yeah, man. No, man. You're railing me up on a beautiful Tuesday, man. And, we got the delegate to Congress, Stacey Plaskett, Congresswoman Stacey Plaskett, and Malik Siku joining us. Be back right after this.
Get informed with Analyze This as former Senator Neville James features Virgin Islands newsmakers from around the territory and beyond. Neville dives deep into politics, art, culture, history, and sports. Analyze This, weekdays from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WTJX 93.1.
Phones, social media, you've kept up with the times. If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in just 3 minutes, you'll get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
he said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. In these divided times, what could be more important than a conversation? Conversation with someone we don't know, someone we think we know, someone with whom we disagree or think we do. Join us as we ask questions of politicians, ranchers, parents, athletes, activists, gardeners, writers, and lots more. Then listen along with you.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here and analyze this. One of the great shows in the month of March, 2024. I got the Congresswoman, Delegate Stacey Plaskett, joining us this morning. We're doing a quorum call. Good morning, Madam Congresswoman. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good. And we also got joining us Professor Malik Sikku. Via historian par excellence, among other things, actually was a firefighter back in the days, and a naval officer. That's the term you use, sir.
A petty officer.
Naval officer.
Yeah, different.
Yeah. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Yes. Well, I wanted to rough you up, and Congresswoman, don't feel obliged to get involved with this rough up. Put on a naval. So I'm gonna heist him up a bit. When we say a swap, right?
Yeah.
The congressman can correct me. A swap isn't dollar for dollar.
No.
So when the United States get involved with a swap with Iranians, Iranian Americans with money, it is not dollar for dollar. When Hamas and Israel have a swap, it's not one Israeli for one Palestinian. It is based on what you perceive as the value of the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
So if we trade or we transfer, that's the correct term, uninhabited key, how you want to pronounce it, tiny island, right?
Mm-hmm.
Less than 20 acres for prime property that's going to allow us to build a first-class educational complex that could serve us as a shelter during hurricane, tsunami, provide all the facilities we need in lieu of Julius Brown. I believe that's a fair swap. It's not a dollar per dollar. And I notice the people who are opposing it, they're counting it or viewing it in terms of acre per acre. And that is a mistake. That's not how to perceive it. And yes, the park is too big, but that's one issue. Let's separate the issue and say we also need to have an education complex that provides the facilities, the physical plant, the space, also the safety for our children in St. John. So that's why I take a strong view. I know never
No. I agree with you from the standpoint that it isn't a land for land thing. My point is actually tangential, if I could use that word, right? Kind of attacking to a professor and someone who is a high impact on the floor. My argument is that the National Park Service's footprint is too big on St. John right now, and as a result of that, there's something I need to say before that. I want to give props to Lawrence Rockefeller back in the day, right? Because, you know, his vision to me was a good vision, right? I just believe that we've gotten to the point now where the footprint is too big, and there's nothing wrong with the federal government, you know, giving back a little bit. Everything doesn't have to be business. Sometimes it could be, you know what? Y'all deserve this. Y'all are constructing what you just articulated, Malik, which is not only a high-level institution of learning, but it's going to serve other needs for the people of the Virgin Islands. So I agree with that. That's all I was saying. You're 100% correct. I have no problem with you.
I have to jump off, but all I have to say on that is that, you know, the argument that was given to us is, while it may seem logical for us to do that, and we have good reason for them to just give us the land, National Park, Department of Interior, and, you know, the solicitors general from U.S. Governments have said that that then created a, would create a precedent that they do not want to open up.
Well, I understand that position, but don't forget, you know, I was a senator back in 2008 when, you know what the swap was? Lanning St. John for Lanning St. Croix. Estate Grange.
I remember that one.
You know what I'm saying, Malik? That. You know what I'm saying, Malik? Yeah. So that's the reason why it's kind of, it's a sentimental thing with me. Don't hold it against me. But I agree with all of the perspectives that you've made this morning. Delegate, I want to thank you very much for making some time to join us.
And Neville, yeah. Thank you for allowing me to speak with Professor Sekou. That was a treat.
Delegate, this is analyze this, man. I don't set this thing up like this, man. There's a reason why, you know what I'm saying? I know you're gonna like it. No, I know you got to run, but I appreciate that you spent a little extra 15 minutes with the boys. And now big people like you, right? Me and Malik, we smile, friends, so we're going to let you go ahead and do big people.
No. You guys have done the work, and now you own your own time. I don't own my time yet.
We're gonna let you go do big people thing. And look, tell Congresswoman Jasmine Crawford she is a guest on this show whenever she wants to come on.
Oh, I'll bring her. You want me to bring her?
Bring her down, man. Malik, you've seen Jasmine Crawford on TV so far? You've seen a congresswoman from Texas who'd rough up them big men?
Yeah, man. She's now going to be a member of my weaponization committee.
That's what I'm talking about. So let her.
So I'll bring her down.
Let her know the fan club, the Virgin Islands fan club is expansive.
And you know she's a single woman.
Delegate, goodbye. Goodbye, delegate. Goodbye. Okay, this is an NPR station and a family show. Goodbye, delegate.
No, you know, I could you know, introduce some gentlemen, Virgin Island men who will, you know, are interested in a serious relationship.
The name of the show is Analyze This, not Virgin Islands Matchmaking. Don't bait. Okay? But anyway, I'm glad that you ended I'm glad you ended appearance on that high note. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you.
Right,
I appreciate
bye-bye.
That. We're good. Thanks a lot. That's Delegate Stacey Plaskett. This is her 10th year. Malik, you can imagine it? Time to fly fast. She got in January 2015, and here we are now in 2024. Wow.
But Neville, I want to take a U-turn.
Go right ahead, man. That's what I've done.
Yeah, and put this in terms of history. You know, when I was in the military, one of the issues that I encountered is that many of my white shipmates were amazed that though I was a tiny person, I was no more than 130 pounds, I really didn't have any fear of anybody.
Yeah.
Not because I'm a bad man, but you know, when you're raised in a territory where the predominant population is African Caribbean, and I was raised in the 60s and 70s, the fear of people of different hues or complexions was gone, which means in crude talk, we weren't afraid about color. We're not afraid of white people. And this is not to say that I was anti-white. That's not what I'm talking about. But that kind of servile deference to people in other parts of America, was it our reality here in the VA? And where did it come from? It came from a culture of resistance that the people who lived here, the African population, had undergone a struggle against 245 years Danish colonial rule, and that mindset of not being afraid of anybody was steadily inculcated into our consciousness. So you mentioned Ram's Head, 1733. 1733 was important because it established a sense of fearlessness,
mm-hmm.
a sense of courage, conviction, because in the struggle in St. John, there were three groups of rebels. There were one group that committed mass suicide to prevent being re-enslaved. Another group fled and fought to a standstill. Yet a third group made a mistake of surrendering because if they were told they would be given a chance to be exiled off island and they were killed. So the people in St. John, the native St. Johnians from the 1730s, had already begin to have this sense of fearlessness and desire to be free. They're willing to die for their freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was matched in St. Thomas and St. Croix with other insurrections. So I say that the VI, the best aspect of the VI psychology is to be proud, to have a sense of fearlessness and courage and steadfastness. No, I'm not saying fearlessness and something reckless and be braggadocious. And
yeah, no. We know that. This is analyze this. The audience can make that distinction, man. We understand what you're saying. Yeah, man.
I'm saying it so because sometimes when I speak to
You know what? You're right to put in that disclaimer because people intentionally try to misinterpret things. So you're 100% correct.
Oh, yeah. So when I go to the stateside audience, because you know about diehard Pan-Africanists, and I speak to my brethren in the mainland,
mm-hmm.
and they start to compare and contrast how the black world, the African world operate. They're always amazed that we who live in the Caribbean islands, in the basin, have a sense of pride, a sense of dignity that has to be observed. I'm not saying all of us, but enough of us, a critical mass of us, have a sense of dignity and pride that shows in our culture. And that sense of pride spills over into the music, whether it's reggae, kaiso, soca. Mm-hmm. You name every musical form we have shows, in addition to love of life, love of sensuality, also a sense of pride and respect. So when you mention 1733 Ramtay, that's sacred ground for me as someone born and raised in St. Thomas, but my roots are in St. Croix and St. John. When I go to St. John, I feel like I'm in Arlington's military cemetery at times. Other times, it's just, going to the park is a beautiful place, but a certain part of St. John is meaningful to us. So when St. Johnians get upset, I understand exactly, because there's a mixed feeling of St. John. The park preserves the flora and fauna.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sure the beaches are beautiful. But it takes out of circulation land for our people's development.
That's what you're talking about, man. That's you're coming right to where I'm about. Here's what I got a story for you, a real quick story for you. Because what you're talking about with that fearlessness, I learned about it in a different way. I used to work in a bowling alley here in St. Croix. And the house man, he used to work on the machines, but he was a great bowler. His name was Billy Brunks. So I don't call this the Billy Brunks story. I've mentioned it before. I one day, me and Billy sitting, I said, Billy, you bowl against professionals for money? But back then, the best bowlers are Earl Anthony and Mark Roth and all that. And he said, yeah. So I said, but Billy, you can't beat them, man. And Billy said, well, me really trying to beat them, man. I trying to defend my money. You know what I'm saying? No, seriously. And I was 16, 17. Think about that, Malik. I'm 16, 17 years old, right? And that stuck with me. In other words, you were trying to say they might win it, but then go kill me. And that's a microcosm of what you were talking about. Of course, that was the ultimate sacrifice back in 1733. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But one of the reasons why we need fearlessness is because the last sect that you referred to, who were told that they were going to be exiled and got killed, is because that means you can't trust people so easy.
That's right.
You check what I'm saying? It's one thing to be fearless, but there's also, look, now you gotta earn my trust, right?
That's correct.
And that's a good story there, that fact that you mentioned. Malik.
Let me add to that. I don't know if you were made familiar with William Davis conspiracy in 1759 in St. Croix.
No, educate me. I have no reason to mislead the public. No, talk to me.
There's a conspiracy. We don't know whether or not the St. John insurrection inspired the Africans in St. Croix. There's no evidence, but you could suspect because of the proximity of time. Because, as the insurrection occurred in St. John, the losses were so great that the Danish West Indies Company
purchase inquiry for 750 livres. I don't know how much that in modern day money, but Sinclair was purchased because of the insurrection in St. John.
Yeah, you mentioned that last time. That's all. I was having fun with you. That's what, as a collateral, Sinclair and the collateral.
Well, and Sinclair, from that, in that sense, Sinclair is worthy. And it was from the sense of, you know, St. John is 20 square miles, Sinclair is 84 square miles. So to recoup the losses, Sinclair became essential. So in that sense, but in a broader, a different sense, once this Sinclair came apart to the Danish West Indies, within a generation, there's another insurrection or attempt, and someone rat out the mastermind. The mastermind committed suicide in order not to rat out his people.
Yeah, I pull it up now. Yeah, December 14th.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1759. Yeah.
I tell people that's impressive, you know, that the commitment was so great that he rather kill himself than to betray the plot.
They got to kill me, man. That's a Billy Brown thing. Yeah, go kill me.
So I say when our heroes demonstrate that they rather, you know, if I can steal American freedom, give me liberty, give me death.
Yeah, man.
We have our own version of that in the Virgin Islands.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That we have the same principle, the same thing that Americans, when they proclaim all these great heroes rather die than to give up liberty, so did we. And we did it before the American Revolution.
That's right. That's right. 265 years come this December, man. Wow.
That's correct. So when we get up and, you know, people say we bold face, broad face, sound like we proud to be Africans who live in the Caribbean. We have a history to be proud of. So even, you know, there's a lot of discussion. I thought I brought up last time about the gay history discussion.
No, it's good. As a matter of fact, when we left off, you were mentioning two incidents. A flood down in the Gladys Abraham, down in the Bonfield area, right? Yeah. And the Carib gas fire, I think it was you mentioned. Yeah. Right, so what we're gonna do is we'll go to our break. We're gonna pick it up there. We're gonna pick it up because this conversation is the extension thereof, and then we're gonna talk for the next hour of our self-governance window, which is now what? January 1971, 53 years and couple months, right? So, looking forward to talking, I guess, modern day Virgin Islands rule, with the one and only Malik Sikou. We'll take a break. And be back. And by the way, your fan club don't start to text me already to let me know that you ain't need no disclaimer and all that good stuff. So we good. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.